All right, let's go. All right. Let's start off with the game last night.
Well, what'd you think? Edmonton won handily, as they say.
They were pretty close there for a while. I can sense who's going to win and who's not going to win. And geez, I remember some games we'd start the game and it would be a nothing game, and the other team would be coming at you. You'd have to pull the little magic to get them straightened around. Third and fourth line, you play the third and fourth line if they're coming at you.
Yeah. Well, I think the one thing is that, you know, McDavid and Drysdale, they're the number one guys, and Hyman, and they came through, and you hate to keep picking on Pettersson, but
boy,
$98 million has one goal.
98, and boy, you wouldn't even know he played last night.
You wouldn't even know he played last night.
You wouldn't even know. And when he's in Vancouver, too, you'd think he'd really turn it on, yeah. But...
He doesn't seem like a guy that Tocchet would want around.
No.
Like, he's not a Tocchet type of player.
I think he's going to be traded next year. I think he will be traded.
Yeah. With that type of contract?
Well, I don't know. Nobody would want. You'd have to eat some of the contract.
Oh. Like, we asked you last night, Dad, saying that after, he's been a big bust in the playoffs, and Vancouver's on a pretty good run. Would some of the players sit down, like if they're having a beer, say something to him?
Yeah, I know three guys in our club would say something to him. I just don't understand a guy making that much money and not producing. I just don't. Yeah. It's hard for me to believe that the coach would put up with that.
Yeah. Well, Tocchet's you're in kind of a bit of a jam, right? Like, what are you going to do? Bench him?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like
you might come through tomorrow night. As we speak, it's Sunday morning, and
We might be bad mouthing him. We'll get a hat trick.
Yeah, but he looks like a guy. If you benched him, though, even during the season, he'd sulk. Doesn't he look like a sulker?
I don't know. Trade him for Marner and see what happens.
Oh, that's even Steven.
Yeah, that'd be a good. No, you'd never trade him. Never trade.
So you guys were really on the referees last night and the embellishment and the faking.
Diving.
Even the goalies are starting to do it now.
No, and the goalies do it now, and they do it better than anybody.
They do. They really do it well.
We have to stop that. I don't know how we're going to stop it. Find them. I don't know.
I think, Tim, you came up with a good way to stop it.
I said that if you get called for a high stick – or slash, and you're like,
but they do get cut.
But I would say you can't start the power play, you know, because like especially
Started the power play. I never had guy got hurt like
like Hyman last night. It looked like he got hit with a medieval axe and grabbing his face. And he goes down, and he's up in 30 seconds later. He's playing in the power play.
Well.
It's a game now, and they have
to stop it.
But you and I have always said, Dad, if, like, even watching the minor midget games, the kids would dive the first 5 minutes, and if the refs wouldn't call it, then that's it. They'd stop diving.
And if the
referee bit on it, they would be diving all night. Yeah.
But do you believe in, okay, let's say a referee calls, like, a high stick, but you know the guy that he hit is embellished. How about giving an embellishing penalty the same time the guy gets a high stick?
Well, that's
they only have to do that once because it has been done.
But you know, the guys are hit. They are hit in the mouth.
They carry on like they carry on, and they almost make the referee look like a fool.
But what are you going to do?
You give them an embellishment penalty,
or you start fining them.
I suppose
NHL would have made about $100,000 last night if they find them things. But I think they got to do something because I don't think the hockey fans are going to put up. Like the real hockey fans.
They don't mind it at home.
Yeah, that's true. Depends who what team you're rooting for. But, you look at John Cooper, how upset he was in the last game with Tampa and Florida. you know, Bobrovsky, he was flopping all over the ice, and they called two goals back. Yeah. And so now the goalies say, if there's a guy near me and they score, fall down and say goalie interference. So
well, you have like to put on a pretty good show.
Yeah, but I think they have to do something.
Well, they have to do something, and they will do something.
So who's going to win game seven?
Oh, you're not getting me on that one. I will say Vancouver will win it.
Vancouver? I think Edmonton's going to win.
Well, I don't know.
What do you think, Sitting?
I hope Edmonton wins.
Oh, you do, eh?
I do.
Why?
Well, because of for McDavid. I feel he should go a little bit farther than he normally goes. I think he's earned it.
Well, he has earned it. There's no doubt about that. And
they have great fans.
Should be a good game anyhow.
Don't you like the fans better in Edmonton than Vancouver?
No, I don't think so.
How about Vancouver, though? Like, last night, they sold out their arena watching the game on the big screen in Edmonton.
Gotta like that.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, no, I think the fans in Edmonton and in Vancouver, they're both the same.
So the big question is, if Edmonton wins, are the fans going to riot?
Oh, yeah. Remember, Ron and I got caught in that riot, you know?
Yeah. People
we had to deke and dive. You couldn't catch a cab. Yeah. We had Deacon dive through parks and everything else.
If people don't remember that, Google Vancouver riot after the, I forget what year it was, the Bruins beat them in Vancouver in game seven of the finals. Mm. And should I tell that story that Michael Bublé tells? He tells about that?
Yeah, that was funny.
You know Michael Bublé, the singer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know the singer.
So he was saying that he's a huge Vancouver Canuck fan, right? And I think he owns part of the Vancouver Giants, the junior team. So he's a huge fan. Yeah. So he was on tour on that. I forget what year it was. So it was Boston-Vancouver was in the finals. And he kept saying to his agent, game seven, don't book me. He says, don't book me on this because this could be game seven. And if I'm going to game seven, so if I have a concert, forget it. So the guy goes, yeah. So he still booked it, thinking, I mean, what are the odds it goes seven games? So goes seven games, and his concert's in, I think he said it was either in Connecticut or Rhode Island. So it was in New England near Boston. Mm-hmm. So he canceled the show to go to game seven.
Yeah.
So he comes back about a month later to do the show. And he says, the fans, he says, you know, so he goes, I'm on stage and I'm singing. And he says, the fans are really into me. He says, it was just one of those nights. He says, I connected with the fans and I was, you know, really singing and they were really giving it, cheering me and everything. So he says, I made the mistake saying, the reason I canceled was because I went to game seven. I'm a big Vancouver Canuck fan. Well, they're all Boston fans. Well, he says, they started to boo me. They're flipping me off. They're throwing stuff at me. He says, they turned on me.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that one. I know. I'd boo them too.
Yeah, those Bruins fans were tough. So, Dad, the poor professional hockey teams in Toronto just can't get out of the first round of the playoffs. So the women's professional hockey team in Toronto lost in their final, in I don't know if it was five or seven games, to Minnesota.
You know, Tim, when I saw they were picking the team, I said, boy, that coach that they pick, well, all he has to do is just say, they don't think much of you. And away they went.
Yeah, because the way it works is whoever was in first place in the Professional Women's Hockey League, they got to pick who they played in the first round.
Oh,
so they said, well, we're going to play Minnesota.
What great motivation to beat a team. Is it so that you were picked because the other team thinks they can beat you easily?
And the coach and the other team didn't have to say a word.
No, a hockey player is a hockey player is a hockey player, whether it's a man or a woman. Maybe they would take great offense to that.
Oh, I would like to, if Montreal Canadiens say they want to play the Bruins. Oh.
I know they have to, you know, there's a evolution of this league and everything, but they might want to think about that type of
setup. I think that's great, though.
You get to pick who you meet in the playoffs?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, how professional is that?
It's rinky-dink.
It shows rinky-dinkness.
Well, they would have, but the thing is, they would have played them anyway, because they were the bottom team, right?
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, but it was something. So the other hockey that's going on is the international Hockey Federation.
Boy, I was watched that game right from the start when they were winning 6-1, and I fell asleep. I was watching it too. Bing, 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 and it was 6-6.
Yeah, they were playing, was it Austria?
I forget who they were playing.
It was 6-1 going into the third period.
6-1.
Going into the third.
Going into the third.
And it ended up 6-6.
So do you have to blame the coach for letting the team fall asleep?
I don't know. I probably fall asleep too. Yeah. And by God, Tavares scored 15 seconds in. And that was the most uninspiring overtime goal I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I don't think Tavares even raised his stick as in celebration. They put their head down. That was like they lost.
And when they played at Old Canada, they all had their heads down. And they should have. That taught them a good lesson, though.
Yeah.
When you got it on, pour it on.
Yeah.
So can I ask what players came over to that team that were out of the playoffs? Like, you got to admire Tavares going over.
Tavares,
Tavares. He wanted to get out of town.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah,
I guess so.
And then they got somebody from Tampa, Hague, I think they got, or something. Hagel.
That's great that, you know, they go over there.
Well, they went over there.
It's a long season.
Remember, we went over and
1981, I think it was.
Coaching. We got Larry Robinson and who did we?
Guy Lafleur.
Okay, Dad. When you went over there for the World Championships, you guys handled it differently. You went over there shorthanded.
Expecting two guys. Yeah, we expected two guys. We got Larry Robinson and Guy Lafleur. I wanted Larry Robinson and Lapointe.
But they handle it different now.
And I'm not knocking Lafleur because he was terrific. I think about Guy Lafleur, how great he was.
Yeah, great guy. But they handled it differently this year. They brought Adam Fanelli and the kid that's going to be the first round pick. And then when Tavares and I forget the other guy was available, they cut them. I don't think that's fair. Unless they explain that to them. Come over.
Yeah.
Have you going to go to Prague? We're going to set you up in a hotel.
Exhibition games.
Yeah, play some exhibition games. But if they didn't, that's a real slap in the face.
It certainly is.
You know, so, but I remember the two things I remember, Dad, funny stories that I remember when we were over the World Tournament. First of all, I remember Barry Long. Remember him?
The defenseman. Barry Long. I never saw a guy get away with so much stuff in your life. I think the referees are afraid of him.
Cindy, guys standing in front of the net, especially the Russians, he hacked and slashed them. He would get a 20-game suspension now every other shift. Oh,
what he did over there?
Yeah.
Oh, he'd be suspended for the year.
And the referees never called a penalty on him. The fans were, you know, they don't boo, they whistle, right?
Yeah, they whistle.
They were, every time he was on the ice, they were whistling. He didn't care. I'll tell you one thing, man. The Russians, when he was on the ice, they didn't stand in front of the net.
No, nobody stood in front of the net when he was. And he buried, he was really something. He was really, and I never forgot him. He had a green tongue. He drank cream de mint on the way back.
That's good back.
Yeah.
But I remember we're in the airport, and there was a doctor there. John Ferguson was the GM, and there was a doctor there, and he was so proud showing everybody that he got an autographed Russian hockey stick from one of the Russian players. So he's going around showing everybody, and, you know, all the players are somewhat traitor, right?
Right.
So cares? John Ferguson walks over, and I think he was smoking. Oh, he says, that's really interesting. He says, now what is it again? And the guy goes, well, it's a Russian hockey stick from so-and-so, and all the players autographed it, and I got the coach to autograph it. And John goes, well, that's really nice. He goes, can I see it? I want to, and he gets it, and he smashes it in a million pieces, just like John Belushi in Animal House, you know, with the guitar. And he goes, sorry. And he gave it back.
Yeah, well, it was pieces he gave back.
He gave back pieces, yeah. And then this other thing with John Ferguson was, I remember I was standing there, and this was in Sweden in 82, so there was a Swedish newspaper, and it had, you know, writing, and then he saw John Ferguson. So he goes, oh, they wrote about me. So we had kind of like a fixer there who was our interpreter and everything. So he goes, they wrote something about me. What did they write? And he goes, Canucks GM John Ferguson is wanted for a major brawl that he started in a bar last night.
It was Al Eagleson.
Yeah. He goes, I was in my room last night. What's going on? And it was Alan Eagleson that got into the fight and said he was John Ferguson.
Oh, you always had a good time when you went over, right? Yeah. The stories you could tell playing cards.
Yeah,
and
we played cards. Yeah. Me and Pat Poutette, we won the euchre tournament. We beat Guy Lafleur and Larry Robinson.
Tell the guy that was trying to learn how to play euchre.
Lucien Dubois wanted to learn how to play. And people know to play euchre, if you can play it in speed and you know how to play it, like you could throw two cards, right? And then everybody throws their hand in. So these guys, we were playing in the finals. This was Larry. So they wanted to get going, right? So it was like super speed. And he's looking, going, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you're playing one card and everybody throws their cards in the middle. Like, what kind of game is this? So they forget it, Lucien, if you don't know how to play. But
when you learn, you'll do the same thing.
Yeah. Then I remember... everybody threw like $50 into the pot, and Pat Poutette and I won, and the guys weren't going to pay. Pat Poutette went around and made everybody, hey, you pay. Everybody threw $50 in the pot. We want the money. He was a tough little guy.
Oh, he was a tough guy, Pat Poutette, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was a tough little guy.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun over there. Dad and Cindy, the playoffs are here, and there's never been a better time to bet on your favorite Canadian team, be it Vancouver, Edmonton, with our favorite Canadian sports book, North Star Bets. They're a proudly Canadian brand and one of the best places to play in Canada. NorthStarBets.com has everything you're looking for, sports books with built-in betting insight and analysis, slots, live dealer tables, and exceptional customer service. Get into the playoff action now at NorthStarBets.com. And NorthStarBets.com is not available in Ontario. And Dad, last night you picked Edmonton to win, so you've been on a pretty good roll.
I've been on a pretty good roll. I can tell. Just looking at the first minute.
Yeah, you picked Boston to win. Going back to Florida.
Yeah, yeah. I would never turn against Boston.
Yeah, it's too bad, though, that they lost to Florida. But you said from game one in Toronto, something's off with the Bruins.
Pastrnak, I knew there was something wrong with him. He was in a snit for Bobo. Something. Somebody said something or did something to take him off. But he got the one goal.
Yeah, I got the biggie.
You got the big goal. But there was something thrown off about the Bruins. It just did not look, they didn't look like a Bruin team.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, but I thought one of the interesting things out of the whole thing was the GM, Don Sweeney of the Bruins, he was mad at the refs. And he's doing his presser after the game, and he says he thinks the referees...
Yeah, but he said the players have to come out, the GMs have to come out, the coach has to come out. He thinks the referees
should face the media after the game.
Yeah, and I don't know. I have to think about that.
I think they should. What do you think, Sydney?
Oh, absolutely. They have to have accountability, and I think it might even affect the way they call the game
if they know
they have to face the press for a couple of the calls that they made. I think that would really affect the game.
The call in the New York Carolina game in double overtime, that cross check to put New York on the power play, was absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
And if you're the referee and now you got to go back, you know, even if you say, hey, I blew the call, that's fine. But I just think what happens.
Oh, you wouldn't say that.
But I just think that what happens with the referees, and you know the way they all get together. Oh, that was a brave call. Like they never criticize each other.
That took a lot of guts to call that penalty. And I can hear them talking amongst themselves. That's how they do it.
Yeah.
It took a lot of guts to call that penalty in that time of the game.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you know, Bindamore's going bananas and pulling his hair out. And boy, that was a good series.
That was a dandy series.
Boy, they were really hitting and stuff like
they
that.
They were taking no prisoners in that game.
Yeah. And last night they were kind of hitting the hurt.
They were...
That's some tough looking coaches too, between Brindamore and Tockett and all that. Are going, whoa!
That's
no wonder they're going far in the playoffs with coaches like that.
That's what I said. I go, when it was 4-1, I said Edmonton's lucky Tockett doesn't suit up. I said somebody would be getting carried off the ice.
Somebody could be carried off the ice. By the way,
Craig Berube,
Well, if he does what he did in St. Louis, and sticks to his guns. He'll be all right.
Yeah. Well, that's always the thing that, like I said, I asked last time, is now that Trevling's got Berube, he's got to get the team that Berube wants to coach.
Yeah.
He can't get a team of all sweethearts, and Berube doesn't like that, right? That's not going to work. He's got to get.
Well, I hope he sticks to his guns, and if he sticks to his guns, he'll be a good coach.
So let me ask a question: when a new coach comes in, does he get rid of all the assistant coaches that are back there tripping over each other?
You know, I don't know what they're going to do. It must be tough being an assistant coach now. You never know. If he gets fired, you get fired too.
But wouldn't you want, as a new coach, wouldn't you want new assistant? Because you don't want a pipeline up to the manager.
I remember I had my first assistant coach.
At the World Tournament, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Never with the Bruins or anything. Right. Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah, I remember. You remember what he did?
No.
Phil Mir was in net. And it was third period, you pulled him, and you told the coach, go tell John Garrett to get ready, and he didn't. John Garrett's pounding back a Coke or something like that. What are you doing? You're going in. He didn't tell him. That was funny.
I couldn't see you having an assistant coach.
No.
You couldn't get along with
him. The one thing, sorry to interrupt, you know the one thing you noticed was Montgomery and Boston, he has the coaches.
Yeah, standing at the end.
Standing at the very far end. He's the main guy behind.
And he tells them what to do in face-offs and stuff like that.
Yeah. Was it my imagination or did I get a vibe on that Toronto Maple Leaf that Keefe had a bit of a disdain feeling? He didn't look like he was meshing with his assistant coaches.
He knew something was going on.
It usually indicates that they weren't his assistant coaches. They were the, who would it be, Dubises or something?
I don't know. I would think, though, you have to have your assistant coach. Like, Berube's got to have somebody he trusts.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll wait and we'll see.
No, the one, I think, kind of neat story was during that St. Louis-Boston final that Berube was coaching. You know, remember, he took them over. They were last place in the league. And then ended up winning the Stanley Cup that year. That Binnington, the goalie for St. Louis, got bombed in game six, like 6-1. And then you saw him.
I saw him in the elevator, and I was.
Oh, right.
And earlier in the morning, and he's, oh, no, we'll win. We'll win big time.
Game seven. He's, yeah,
we'll and win. I'm looking at the guy like, you were in the net last night for six, and you're talking about your win? I never thought they'd win.
No, by the golly, they did.
Yeah. And it was a tough series. Tim, I'd like to know where are all the beer commercials during the TV. I mean, radio and hamburgers and stuff, and no beer.
Like, no beer commercials and hockey now. Like, it's just, it's unreal. Remember, like, Coach's Corner, and when you were on, it was beer commercial after beer commercial after beer commercial.
Yeah.
And now it's just trucks.
Trucks,
banks,
and banks,
yeah.
and everything, anything but beer commercials.
Yeah,
I think they had one last night.
I don't even think they had one. It is amazing how there are no more beer commercials. Because remember, everybody used to, you know, the people used to complain that, you know, kids watch hockey and all they do is run beer commercials.
Yeah, like drinking beer doesn't equate having fun or anything, watching hockey.
Yeah, I remember that you did that Bubba beer commercial for Molson's. And,
oh, yeah. I got in a lot of trouble.
You got a lot of trouble in that,
well,
boy.
I didn't. I let on I got in a lot of trouble. Yeah. And I had a lot of fun
with it. It was very misogynist, they said, what that means.
But it had a very catchy tune.
It did. It was an old Irish tune. So I found out later it was an old Irish tune that everybody sang.
Well, and then...
Oh, yeah.
Remember, where were you in a rink?
Yeah, it was a rink, and the head of Molson's son was playing hockey, minor hockey, and he goes, remember what he said to you? Well, Don, I guess we've done a good job in marketing. He goes, my five-year-old son was walking down the rink and down the hall and singing your beer commercial. He goes, so I guess we did a good job.
Yeah, I guess I did. And here's the song right now, and it's a beauty.
Hey, guys, look who I ran into.
Hey, how's it going, ladies?
Beer, 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 bubble of beer, beer, beer. Oh, when we get together, just me and all the lads, everyone remembers all the fun we had. Cause every time we gather, there's plenty of good cheer.
Imagine, more of me.
That calls for a bubble of beer.
The Molson Canadian Bubba, now dressed like Don Cherry.
And beauty for the playoffs.
Please don't drink and drive.